Hey, greetings everybody. This is the Art Lakes Podcast, episode 138. So welcome, and especially to my returning listeners, pretty much everybody, you know, welcome. And yeah, man, just before I get to today's guest, man, remember I'm working with Mustafa Jinad with Global Sports, so check out that channel. And we also recently started a another podcast called Political Animals, so that's pretty wild. You know, we have the elections coming up from everywhere, actually. And there's a lot of crazy stuff, especially happening in Israel. So we're talking a lot about that. So it's just basically guys just giving their opinions. So, and if you follow this channel, you kind of know where I stand on most of those guys and those stuff. So yeah, check that out, man. It's really some dope stuff, and very creative shorts as well. And big up Mustafa for that. Yeah, man. And just in closing, yeah, if you're in the southern hemisphere, change of season. It's actually the weather is quite lovely here by me today. So that's a break. that's a change. But yeah, enough of the weather report and all that. Let me get to today's guest. So this brother is celebrating. This is the third time on the platform. Filani Noni, aka Pan, author of many books. Also a multi-award winner all the way from Bulawayo there in Zimbabwe. In Robert Mugabe is part of the world, well, he's there now. But we all know Filani had a very, very strong opinion on him. I also remember the book Fultrum and like an overall artist and creator. I remember the cover was too dope. I think we spoke about that on a previous episode on how the cover became a viral sensation, which was just fucking great stuff. So, but today we're going to talk about his new book called The Testament of Black Jesus. My brother, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Morning, Wiz, all the way from sunny Bulawayo. We also have great weather, probably better than yours.
Okay, most probably. Yeah. I remember. I remember the previous episode. And just for my new listeners, the previous episodes were all audio, and I think I'll add them all to the description in the video anyway, so you can check that out. And they were done like just after COVID. And I remember one of the episodes we're talking about is the folly behind award winning and award shows and stuff and awards given to artists. Mm-hmm. That's actually something a conversation I've spoken about consistently. Just so by the way. It's really interesting stuff. So just for new listeners, you can go check that out in the description. My brother, let's get into it, man. Testament of Black Jesus. From what I've been reading up, you're giving a different African spirituality look, sort of rewriting the narrative, there's a bunch of stuff around that. So let's start in the beginning. Why did you get into, or what prompted to put together this book?
Well, everyone is Christian as far as the Zimbabwe narrative is concerned. So if people ask you which church you go to, where do you worship, you know? And sometimes when you don't go to church, there's a stigma around you.
Right? Yeah, same here.
So, yeah. And I usually say that, if you have actually read the Bible, you'll stop going to church. Yeah. Because there's some things in the Bible that you're like, no, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. Right. But there are also some good things in the Bible that people associate with the Christian character. So I want to comment on that, like how crazy the whole Christian movement has become. All of a sudden, we've lost the fundamentals of what being a Christian is. And who Jesus actually was is portrayed in the Bible. So my idea was to strip away all the miracles, all the salvation, all the heaven stuff, and just deal with Jesus as the Son of Man, the human being who actually walked among us, who had all these wonderful teachings, and who spoke these fundamental things, things that are fundamental to human relations and being alive and coexisting with each other, which is basically Ubuntu. So that's how I came to circle back and set it in Southern Africa.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about that. So you're saying if you're removing the miracles and all that, so what narrative, so what story are we left with, and how are you looking at it? How are you writing about it, or what you're writing about?
So what we're basically left with after we remove the miracles, we're left with a rebel, a guy who stood against the colonial authority, which was Rome. We're left against a guy who stood against dogma, which was the way Judaism was carried out in those days. He was a Jew, but he didn't like the way other Jews practiced, right? We're left with a guy who preached Ubuntu. This is a guy who said, do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you, which is basically Ubuntu. So I just wanted to circle back to those fundamentals. And once again, this character gets killed. I mean, spoiler alert, this is sort of Jesus. He definitely, he's going to die. So Jesus dies, not because of, you know, to save us or for our sins or anything like that, but Jesus dies because we hate what she is saying. Yeah. So we hate what she is saying. We hate that she's telling us to love one another. She's telling us to not accept what the powers that be are imposing on us. So we kill her. We crucify her again.
So Black Jesus is a woman.
Yeah, man. I thought, like, why not, you know?
So explain to that, like, how
why not?
Why the gender swap? I mean, that's actually quite a trendy thing these days, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially coming out of the USA.
Uh-huh.
So why gender swap?
I thought it to be a more interesting story. I like turning things around. I like, you know, flipping things and just seeing how they'll balance.
There's not a pseudo political message behind the gender swap. It's just creativity. It's just you shaking things up. So okay,
and
so
I guess Jesus would be less accepted as a woman. If a woman came up today and said, "Hey, listen, I've come again. I'm Jesus."
Okay, good one. Okay, good one. I think that was really sharp. And then most probably. So I was gonna ask. I mean, in the Bible, Jesus is a dude. I guess he does guy stuff. I guess. So if he's a woman now, how does that narrative change? So I'm trying to think of a story where it was more of a guy type of thing, but I can't. I have to really wreck the brain there. But so explain to us, like, give us like an example, like what will make a Black woman Jesus different than a white man Jesus, just so that I can sort of create an image in my head.
Well, this Black Jesus is actually encouraging people to go back to their spirituality, their native, what they had before colonialism, right?
Yeah.
So the spirits of, she talks about the spirits of Mwali, she talks about the medium Charwe, who we call Nehanda. You know, she talks about all the spirituality that was happening in the Matogo district. And she says, no, wait a minute. When you guys won this country from colonial rule, were you praising this God that you're given? Or were you praying to the God Umvelingani, Mwali, the spirit of this land? Right. So what has changed? Why are we now going to this Christian God when we are... I guess it also touches one of those, you know, the major themes of this decade, the post-colonial narrative of decolonizing. So we need to decolonize our spirituality as well. Yeah. That's the direction she was taking.
That's actually pretty fresh. And actually, there's so many things we can unpack there. Starting off with, I sort of get the gist that, like, this has got nothing to biblical Jesus, and sort of a reimagining of like you say, a black Jesus, in this case a woman. If you say something interesting about decolonizing, are you talking about decolonizing religion or spirituality or both?
I think religion is a poison, because religion is just a set of rules. So one of the problems that I was dealing with this text is religion in itself. How you have this one, you have this one guy, this Jesus that everyone claims to be following, but everyone has a different interpretation of Jesus.
Yeah.
You have all these denominations.
Yeah.
So religion is the religion is the problem as far as I'm concerned, and in this text. Spirituality, on the other hand, is what we try to go back to say, hey, listen, guys, why are we doing all this A, B, and C? Right, let's stick to the core message. Right? Because it's not only Jesus who was preaching this message of love and Ubuntu. Across all religions, you find the same thing, Buddhism, across the world.
Yeah.
These guys are just saying love each other. You know, just preaching love. But why are we putting all these restrictions and divisions between us? Like, okay, you're going to go to hell because you worship the same God, but you worship one another way. You know, so just basically going back to the fundamentals of the spirituality.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think
because that's how she dies. They put an nail in her head.
Does she get crucified?
Yeah, she gets crucified. But she gets crucified like a
Romanesque type of way, with the hands stretched and the feet dangling and that type of thing.
Yeah, she gets crucified like a witch. So in my research, it turns out witches were killed through impalement and a nail in the head. So yeah, so she does end up on.
Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about dope, man. That Yara Pilani, that's fresh, my brother. That actually leads me to the next one. So tell us a little about the research that you do before writing. What were you reading? Who were you reading, etc.
I read a ton of stuff because I wanted to. I mean, I like experimenting with poetic forms. And my other book in 2016, I did sonnets throughout, Shakespearean sonnets. And my first book, you know, there's all these different styles. So I wanted to do an epic. And like when I started working on Black Jesus, I said, well, no, wait a minute. This is the epic that I want to do. I want to make an epic out of this. So I started reading the epics. I went back to Homer, the Iliad, the Odyssey. I did some stuff with the Epic of Gilgamesh, John Milton, Paradise Lost, and Dante with the Inferno. What's it called? The Divine Comedy.
Dante. Yo, that's some old school stuff, man.
That's old school stuff, bro. Because the epic is the oldest form in the world, right?
Yeah, it is.
So you really have.
Yeah, man. Tell us a little bit more about that. Or sort of try to expand on what's it like writing an epic. What is it about? What's your interpretation of it, and so forth.
Yeah. So an epic is basically one long story told in the form of a poem. So it's basically one long poem telling the same story. And that was fun. So you look at guys like, Homer is a bad example because there are a lot of interpretations. Homer, he used to write in Greek. So sometimes the translators do whatever they want with it. Sometimes they rhyme, sometimes they don't. And then we come back to guys like Milton. Milton didn't rhyme. He used blank verse. So I wanted a more structured feel to it. So some of the lines, they I've got different rhyme schemes going on throughout and different wordplay in there. It's basically just like this whole condensation of all these poetic concepts that I'm just throwing in there and unifying them to tell a single story throughout the whole narrative. There, so that was my approach. And of course, there's some traditional ideas that come with the epic, like your first line has to sort of like say the theme of the book, right? So you look at Homer, It begins with rage, son of Achilles, the rage of Achilles, son of Peleus, and all that, because the theme is rage. And then you go to the Odyssey. I think that the theme is something about being shrewd. So in the Testament of Black Jesus, word with illumination, because illumination, that's what this character is about. And she's called Mkhanyiselo, which means the enlightened one. Or if you want to be controversial, the Illuminati.
Okay, I didn't see that one coming either. I didn't see how just a quick point on like the whole thing of Illuminati. That word has taken on like such a different form, like post 2020. Like growing up, let's say late 90s, there about it was like a real underground thing, and it was like this real, if you know about it, you even feel better than others, and it's like you feel like you understand what's going on. Now it's like I got an email on Facebook by the Illuminati asking me to join. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I just feel that it has taken on a different shape. It's just taken on a different shape and form. It's actually quite interesting. Do you reference it like directly in Testament of Black Jesus?
No.
Is there a reason for that? There was just a bit of a breaking transmission. It happens all the time, actually. So no stressing that. Did you get my last question?
So you're asking whether I referenced the Illuminati in the Testament? No. It's just simple village folk, just guys in the savannah. It actually opens up with guys waiting for food aid. You know, these are the kind of people who are just waiting for food aid, and they just want their food aid, go home and eat. And this crazy person just comes in and starts saying all these crazy things. Yeah. So no, there's no.
I was just asking that mostly just for reference to like sort of pop culture. You know, these days, in order to get your product to get your product sell the trend or so forth, you always got to keep it you know, topical and shit like that and stuff like this. Illuminati is like everywhere. Yeah, anyway, that's just more of a marketing thing. But we'll get
it's the same, man.
Distribution a bit later. We know we'll unpack that a bit more in detail. Sorry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy, the whole Illuminati thing, with especially after the PDD thing. You know, everyone's just talking Illuminati, yeah. Initiation, sacrifices, and all that. Yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy how people are. Sorry.
No, no, it's crazy how people.
No, I was gonna just say my point. You're saying how people. These days, it's sort of off topic. Every single year, I've noticed maybe for the past 5 years or so, every single year there's a major Black entertainer that is falling over, Cosby, R. Kelly. I think there was another one anyway. And this year started quite wild with an entertainer, a comedian who I respect and I enjoy his comedy a lot. I think he's great, Cat Williams. But when he did that that podcast, you know, if I must be really critical about it, you just went after Black people. I didn't like that. It's as if we, this group of corrupt, devil-worshipping, pedophile type of shit. I don't like that narrative at all, really. Whether it's true or whether it's not true, I don't know. I don't actually care. But I don't think, like, every single year, there's another like, Black pillar of the entertainment industry that has fallen. And that actually, I also find there's a big anti-male, like, narrative attached to that tonight. Don't like it, but anyway, let's get back to let's get back to Black Jesus. So, with all these, you know, I would assume that in writing this and sort of being in this headspace, you have to be in a certain, I guess, spiritually, you have to be in a right space. Mentally, you have to be in a right space. Tell us a little bit about that, man. Tell us a little about the processes of, for example, like how long, when did you write it? How did you write it? And, you know, spiritually, how were you and so forth?
Yeah. It got crazy. I love reading up on stuff. I have a problem where I like to see the nuts and bolts of things. Like I'm almost ADD kind of guy. So I think that's why I write like forms and want to make them a perfect square, and they need to rhyme like this and that and that and that. And then, so I research a lot on other people's ideologies and religions and all that. So I found this common ground. And it took me 6 years to actually piece it together. And because I think every character that you create has to really resonate. And I think writing is an incredible form of acting, because in order to create a convincing character, you sort of have to become that character.
Yeah, man.
And you know, there was this fear at some instances of the gravity of the work that I was undertaking. It's monumental work. So it took me 6 years. And because I wanted to make it an epic, I started structuring it as a play, actually. So I have one version of this as a play. In 2020, it was short, long-listed for the African Writers Award. And then the following year, we developed it again at the Amasi International African Writers Conference. Some workshop that's sponsored by Danai Gurira, Okoye Black Panther. And so we sort of developed it from there. That was in 2020, 2021, thereabouts. And then I went back to it and I started removing the dramatic elements and started piecing it together now to make it flow, because in drama you have the advantage of stage directions and this character. But now, how do you bring about, how do you make the dialogue smooth without, you know, these stage directions and stuff? So you're going back to how you write a novel. Right? So I think it was artistically, it was a fascinating work, because it's a fascinating journey, because now you're working with one long story, like a novel, but you're making it, you're giving it poetic devices to go with. So it was incredible journey, man. I got to a point where I got frustrated with it, and I said, you know what, let's just play the drama version. Like I'm hard for this is enough. Like I can't do this. And then one day, I can't remember what I was reading, but I read something that just, you know, just switched. It was on about how, you know, the difference between black society and white society, how white people collaborate and black people compete. I didn't really agree with it, but it touched something in my spirit. And I just sat down and I finished it in a day. So by that time, the guy who did the typesetting was done with the first version. And I called him up and I said, you know, you're going to hate me for this, but I just read it in the sofa.
No, I get that. I get that. I get that sometimes.
Yeah, I just made the point.
You know
this, like a work of art is never finished. It's abandoned.
I guess what I know through my experience, what constitutes a completed artwork is that I need to get paid. So I need, you know, because at the end of the day, the book needs to, or the product or the artwork or whatever needs to get, you know, needs to get put out there. Capitalism, bro.
Yeah.
Because you are like, I think that this process is abundant. It can just go on. And sometimes it becomes you recommitted, and there's this conflict. Like what you were saying, I can so relate, because as an artist, I never really get into character, because I don't have a specific, or I do, but it's just marks, you know, it's just lines. It's not its personality anyway. But I get that, like becoming that. It's almost like the bipolar, you know, you're thinking like this person, like that. And that's actually a beautiful thing. I don't think it's dangerous. And for us that can experience it, I think it's very beautiful and it's a very interesting thing. Thank you for sharing that, Ashley, man. Let's take a look. Okay, man. So in writing, in putting together everything, okay, so now the like you say, the typesetter was done with our first half, here you come with the second half. So okay, cool, that's done. What sort of okay, man, I sort of want to jump into the marketing thing, but like just in wrapping it up, I think of your book Fulcrum, that had a very visual, and you also collaborate with a lot of with visual artists as well. Is there a visual aesthetic? Is there you know, something? Is there an actual conceptualization of like a female Black Jesus? You know, is there any? Is it just straight up text, or is there any other form of you know, collaboration with visual or graphic designers?
Well, I mean, I work with the best. I just like I work with the best. And one of the things that I'm grateful for.
I love that.
I mean, you just have to. You have to, man.
I love that.
One of the things that I'm grateful for is that I have access to all these wonderful people, these amazing artists that I admire. And I can, you know, collaborate with them like almost any day. You know, that's one thing I'm really grateful for. So I worked with two artists on this project. So the first guy is Charles Nkomo. He did the cover, and I like how he does these essential images, but you know, in an abstract way, impressionism. So I like this photo, this painting, because it doesn't sell the story, but it hints it, you know. And then we took another one for the back. So these are two different artworks. And they're huge, man. And it's like 2 by 3 meters or something. I think we're, well, probably 2 by 1, you know.
Love it.
And then on the inside, I worked with a guy called Busani Mube. He did the typesetting, and he did a fantastic job, you know. And so you got some of the images in there, the shekel and the whip. We could do this all day. And like the scales of justice, and you know, and the idea was, he read the book, and he came up with his own, you know, interpretations of. So whatever resonated with him, he would create an image for it.
Sort of leads me to another theme I wanted to talk about. So how are you also, and it sort of can also lead to the marketing thing, which we want to get to. So how are you presenting the product? How are you presenting the book? Like you say, you wrote a version, which was a play, which I think is also super interesting. It'll be very interesting to see that. What else is there are you just gonna have it in book form and that's it, or there might be a group, if you say there's artwork and so forth, there's illustrations, might an exhibition, maybe a multi-discipline, you know, with spoken word, music and so forth, is there something like that?
There's a lot that we're planning with it, because I also, one reason why I submitted to the idea of doing the play version is because I wanted to stage it as well. Right. So my idea is, you know, just have the story just travel in as many mediums as possible. At one point in 2020, we were doing an audiobook of it. And then
that's interesting.
Unfortunately, the guy, yeah, Yeah, it was very fun. Unfortunately, the guy who was producing it lost his wife, and everything just went south from there. It was a terrible time. So of all these ideas, I've been speaking to Gift Chakubinga, one of my favorite artists in theater, and he's very interested in translating for stage.
Yeah,
And the only catch is that he wants me to direct it. So they're like, shit, man.
actually,
Kind of
that's
hard
why.
directing someone you look up to and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of power dynamics there. My chemical, it can become complicated. Actually, that's what it means. Like, and I also want to unpack. Like what direction? If you're saying a black, that's fucking awesome. Also sort of get your ideas on are you using the digital the e-commerce online marketing promotion and so forth and how you're embracing it and so forth. And there's maybe one or two other things I wanna get and then we can also talk about the where the book is available because I know you have a distribution fella here in Victoria, if I'm not mistaken. So we can definitely see and sort of explain to this exactly where and how, because I think those processes are as important as creating the book. If somebody's listening to this, they can just go onto the device, click one or two or three times, and then the book can be delivered. But like we can unpack that in sort of the second half.
That was.
All right, bro. So let me just close the session, and I'll holler at you in 8 minutes time. You gotta wait. So yeah, and then we'll talk about that then. All right, bro. You can have a smoke and all in the meantime.
Yes, a real one.
You still smoke ganja,
Real thing.
You still smoke ganja?
No, stop, man. Eesh. Too much going on in here, man. Like, yo, the things that they're making nowadays, huh?
Yeah, it's hardcore.
Nah.
All right, my brother. I'll see you soon.
You're still in there.
Yeah, in fact, I had a just before we started. Like you say, too much going on in here. So sometimes it's like the oil that I chose my device, my vices, and I kind of stick to it. I'm kind of arrogant like that. All right, bro. I'll check you in 9 minutes, time.
That like it.
Straight into it. Yeah, we're back. Hi everybody. Yeah man, if you enjoyed the first half of that podcast, smash that like and subscribe button. It's much appreciated. And yo man, I just got something to share with everybody. In a little intermission, I just stopped over 500 hours on the Art Lexa podcast. So much love to all the listeners. Use 500 hours for about 80 or so episodes. Not bad. It's not bad for art, and not just art. Pilani, you said just before the break, you only fuck with the best. I like that, my brother, because so do I. So 500 hours. Thank you. I'm actually quite
It's a milestone, bro. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Yeah, that's an exciting shit.
500 hours of my voice talking to other artists about crazy art things. Anyway, that actually, but let's get into it, my brother. So we ended with you talking about like there's a possibility of a play. So I find that thing pretty interesting because these days, as a writer, as a visual artist, as a musician, you got to do everything. You got to be everywhere. Mostly, and I think part reason to do with COVID-19 and a lot of things changing. The economy is changing, so what we were doing post-COVID might not always be making the same money, so you have to sort of be a bit of everywhere. That's just easier to ease, and I don't want to get into the politics of that. I sort of want to talk about the art around that. So with the possibility of able to play, just one question on that before we get to the others. Will it be any I guess will it be any different if you adapt it from a book to a play? And if there will be changes, what will it be?
Well, one of the things that I do in real life is I'm a creative director. with the Center for Talent Development. And one thing that we do is we specialize mostly in set books. So we take books that are being used by school kids at O and A level, and then we turn them into plays, and then we stage them. So I think from speaking from that experience, I think we're going to have a lot of fun once the process has begun.
Yeah.
In that, a lot of things look different visually and on the page. So for the longest time, I had this idea that the poems that I write for the page, I don't put them on stage. And that has been my theory all along. But sometimes yeah, there's crossovers and that. Because like what you do on the page, you can do a visual pun where like maybe you use homonyms and it looks like a pun on the page, but it doesn't sound like a pun. Right. Maybe use words like minute and minute in different lines. But when you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, minute hours, like as an hours possessive.
Yeah.
And then minute, hour, you know, just playing with things like that. But when you put it on stage, then you have to convey everything. Everything has to be received at once. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So, and the process will inform what comes up.
Yeah, man, that actually. So another question on that. Because it needs to be more visual, right? In the creative process, are you sort of leaning to make something a bit more sensational? Given that, like, because look, I'm coming from the fact that like we're living in a very visual let me just say age, you know, given like with Instagram and social media and so forth. So people, you know, you need eye candy constantly. So, you know, will there be some change? You know, for example, will black jeans be an attractive black woman, for example, you know, big breasts, big spots, so forth, and that type of thing? Will there be elements like that?
Well, I can't speak to the production yet before we, because we might even make it a one.
Okay. Yeah,
we might even make it a one hand. Just like for example, in 2019, I did, was it the Sound of the Cantos? I think it's, from the Baptist, so that should be canto four up to four and five. I performed them at the Harare International Theatre Festival. It was just one hander, one man on stage, and it worked like that. Yeah. We're gonna have a lot of fun with the creative choices over there. And yeah, but I'm not really looking for something sensational. I don't sell controversy. Some of my work may be deemed controversial, but I'm not about controversy, man. I just think, you know, sometimes you just got to go the extra mile and, you know, go to uncharted territory. But I'm not going to do it for the sake of sensationalism. I think, funny story. This one day, when I had the proof copies, I had one copy of Black Jesus in the bar. And then this lady comes along and she says, oh, this is blasphemy and all that. I'm like, no, but you haven't even read the book. So she gets very aggressive and she steals the book. She actually takes it and puts it in a handbag. So I'm sitting there like, okay, this person just stole my book. I've just been robbed by a Christian. So she robbed me. I guess that's the impression everyone else has, that, oh, it's Black Jesus. Oh, okay, this is just going on tangent and blaspheming. And then I met her at a friend's birthday party a couple of weeks later. And she was so nice to me. She's like, oh, so, yeah, what else are we doing? Because I'm like, you gotta pay for my book. Pay for my book. You stole my property. I'm not your friend. You stole my property.
We're not friends, bro.
Nah, we don't play like that.
Did she pay?
So, no, she didn't.
What?
She didn't pay. She just wanted to be my friend. And then, so yeah, when I left the joint, I did something I wasn't proud of. I poured out a beer.
Okay, well, yeah, no, I'd actually be pretty pissed off. I'd be pissed off. That's actually quite arrogant. That's fucked up, actually. Yeah, unfortunately for everybody outside of the continent, Christians, yeah, are hardcore. Some of them, they get shit way too far. And as you say, they will even steal or beat you if they don't agree with you. Personally, I avoid people like that. Unfortunately, it's everywhere, which is the un just is what it is. Nobody likes it, but it is what it is. Okay, man. So I get that with the play, but let's jump into the whole online marketing, social media, and so forth. I mean, the point that you made there of you not going out for controversy. Firstly, that's very mature, because as you know, pop culture is all about that. Pop culture is all about kind of create controversy and then for profit, which I think is actually quite a dangerous thing to mess with. That's why I feel some of these artists don't last, because you can't do that
Because
forever.
where does it end? Where does it end?
Where's the ceiling? There is no ceiling. Every time it just goes, like, what are we gonna do? Just be completely naked and fucking each other and say, yo, buy my book. Come on, bro. Are we
And
all
then
gonna
after
end
you
up?
take off your clothes, what's your next move?
What else? After I show you my everything, what else can I show you? I can't show you anything else. I only have that. Like it's just such a sad reflection of pop culture. But we'll talk about that on another platform. So, or rather on another episode. So with the online marketing, this I'm gonna call it like eye candy. So you showed us that beautiful artwork. It's also very colorful. Also looks very, from what I've seen, a lot of Zimbabwean artists. There's almost like a very specific aesthetic that comes from Zim, and I can actually explore that in another episode. So there's that element. There's the art, and what other elements? Is there something different that you are gonna try, or just go with the traditional? Keep blogging every day on Facebook and this and that, or are you working with somebody around there?
So I'm trying to work with as many people as I can on it. I'm doing my bit, because I also identify my shortcomings as a millennial, that I'm not very good at social media anymore. And actually, I hate social media
Yeah, me
because I feel
too,
like it
bro.
takes away, it takes away a lot of your time. And I mean, and the algorithms are just made to be so addictive, and you spend your whole life there. And I'm a creative man. Like, it takes me a long time to get into the mind space. So I'm trying to work with other people to push it on that front, and then they get a percentage of it. I think one of the hardest things about being an artist is learning the business side of things and getting to touch with your emotions to from approaching this your product as your baby, but let other people have a go with it. So yeah, doing what I can on social media, especially trying to get those sales on Amazon, because Amazon is less hassle. It's just more marketing, but then your distribution and printing and all that is out of your hands. So just got to make people aware and interested in buying it. We're doing that. I'm working with Zita Makgetha, amazing poet from Pretoria. So he's working on the SA side of things, the physical distribution.
Yeah,
We make the books here in Bulawayo, and then he pushes on that side. So yeah, we should be ready for that within a week. Probably by the time this episode comes out, he'll be holding stock. I've got some guy in Harare.
how do we get hold of him if you're based in South Africa? How do we get hold of him?
Well, the easiest way is to go on to my Facebook page called Once a Lover, Always a Fool. It's for my first book. Charles Nkomo did the cover as well. It's a fucking magnificent book. So I'm trying to push marketing from there. So then I'll have all the details on how to get it delivered to you in South Africa as a physical copy. And it's still available on Amazon as well. But I'm not sure. How's the?
I was gonna ask, like, do you make good sales on Amazon?
I make decent sales.
And I'm talking like
They're
mostly
okay. They're
from the
pretty bad.
nice quarter, of course. Is the market mostly
Yeah. Yeah.
talk
You
about
know,
bad
because people.
timing. Shit, Pilani, my brother, the fucking electrician is here. My brother, okay, I'm just gonna pause this here. Give me 10 minutes or so, my brother, and I'm gonna get back to you so we can wrap it up. Do you have that time?
Yeah, I do. I'm here.
Okay. I'll let you. Sorry. Hey everybody, yeah, man, I had to just break in took recording there. I had an electrician coming here. Yeah, so a little bit disorientated because I don't think these guys did a damn thing. Anyway, you know, like the only oh God, anyway. I'll deal with it after this. My brother, sometimes I think people charge too much for bullshit because we actually got charged for this anyway. We were talking about the
Check
guy
that.
in Pretoria that had the so we were getting into their contact or his contact details. So
Yeah.
yeah, can we just pick it up from there?
Yeah, man. So I was saying the best way to go about it is to go to the page. Once a lover, always a
Yeah,
fool.
once a lover, once a fool.
Yeah, well, for this book. So this was my first book in 2012, and I set up a page for it, and so we're pushing all the marketing from there. So that'll be a good one-stop shop, or my personal account on Facebook, Chilani Ainyoni. And yeah, so then it'll be
Yeah.
easier from there
Well, I
to check
mean,
it out. Otherwise, the stuff
yeah.
is available on Amazon. And
Also, send me those Amazon links and I'll smash that. I'll put that on this episode's recording as well, so you know people can have access to that
much
too.
appreciated.
Yeah, my king.
Yeah.
And also, I will share it on my pages too. So, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast as well, you can check the Art Lecture page. It will definitely be available there and on the Art Lecture channel. And that's actually a conversation I will have with you on a separate time is about the online marketing because as you know we've been building that app and I've just been you know while the developers or I was coding and building the actual platform I've been you know on this platform and in my personal space. That's basically all I'm talking about to artists is how are they adapting, and the most consistent question or feedback or question I get from creators is that they don't really know outside I guess just like posting every single day there's they don't really know you know they're usually like yourself you just give it to somebody else and rightfully so I mean I think
Yeah.
words only spread. But I feel in right there's an opportunity for us to for us to exploit. Because I mean, my brother, like you said, you published your first book in 2012. I mean, that's well over 10 years. And so since then, you have an audience, you have supporters, and so forth. So they do exist. We just need to challenge them, channel them to a specific platform. I really do think that's a serious lack in our market, but we are working on that. Yeah, man, with regards to okay, so you were to come in? Did you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm also trying to build something, a website, because I think one of the things that are lacking in the ecosystem, especially as far as publishing is concerned, are book reviews. So I want to build a website where we do book reviews, and it's also an e-commerce site. But man, like the Zimbabwean banking system has been kicking me in the nuts. You know what I mean? So like, for example, if I'm going to use I can't use my regular bank card to swipe internationally or even maybe sponsor ads or buy something on Amazon. And my book, it costs $80 on Amazon to bring it into Zimbabwe. Right. $80. Then I have to go get this special card to, and then I have to put actual foreign currency into it to use it online and internationally. So that has been one of the biggest drawbacks. In terms of, yeah, one of the biggest drawbacks in the way the Zimbabwean economy is structured, in terms of trying to create something that is like, you know, get with the tech and that. But
that's a very good, man, that's a very good point. Like, continue.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, what is frustrating, at the same time, it presents opportunity for the entrepreneur. So yeah, I'm happy to hear that you're building your app.
We are.
Yeah, we're also working on something.
No, we are, man. And like collecting all of this data is fascinating, because I just want to raise the point you were saying about the payment thing. That is an issue. I know in Eswatini as well, they don't have, can't use PayPal. If you make an online purchase, you have to do it like very, I think you have to physically go into the bank and all of this. It's a very cumbersome, very unnecessary process. So that's interesting. Right now, like I'm sitting here right now, once we've tested it with multiple people, then we'll know what to add on or what not to add on. But for now, we just have the basic thing, like the EFT, the PayPal. What's the other one? I think that's the only two. But that's a very valid point. And thank you for making that. And so I'm actually going to put that as a short as well. I think that's a very valid point. Because while we're talking about the processes, while we're talking about the processes and the themes behind the book, at the end of the day, the book needs to sell. We can't go through all of that and have a problem without sales. So as flawless as that process is, the latter should be smooth, and that's something we should really look at. So my brother, I've also been asking, covering this, actually since last year, but now it's a real thing, is AI. It's a real game changer. I mean, your work is out there, and AI is very well aware of that. That I'm sure has maybe tasted a little some of fans' work. What you think about that, bro? Are you concerned? What's it like in our other writers in Zimbabwe? Reaction? What's the reaction to it?
I think, there are two camps. Most of us are scared of AI. I mean, then you have the other camp that's, you know, they think, oh, okay, we're in a third world country, but what will AI do to us as for the Western countries? But if you follow what AI has been doing, or what people have been using AI for, I think we're heading in a very dangerous direction as artists. Because, for example, illustrators are being put out of business right now. If someone is going onto some platform and just typing in prompts, and then all these pictures, images are coming up.
Yep.
And writers, I mean, students are writing essays using ChatGPT. I saw one AI version where you can type in your script, and then it just creates the characters and the movie and all that. And then you just, you know, man, it's killing the artists. It's killing the artists. We're heading to a very dark place. And I'm very happy that I got to put out some of these works before it got really dark, so dark, you know. Because, I mean, like, I've been following the whole Kendrick and J. Cole what's this? Is that beef?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So there was a track that came out. And everyone was saying, oh, no, it's AI. No, it's Drake. It's, you know what I mean? Like, that's how messed up the world is right now. You can't even tell if the artist did that. And you can't even tell if it's coming from the artist's mind anymore. Or he's just, you know, typing prompts like, okay, how to do this, Kendrick? And then does all that.
Man. I'm trying to be as vocal as I can on this platform about it. And there's a group, forgetting the name, man, but it's on Instagram. There was this form where they were going to create a thing. What is our take? And they're trying to lobby government to have some form of legislation around that. I think those things are probably the most important work in our generation is to do that right now. I think like what we can control right now is that and how we react to it, of course, but definitely we should have some form of some solidarity in some sense, where we all come together, voice our opinions, put it out in a formal thing, and go to this government. I mean, in SA, we have elections coming up in a few weeks' time. Uh-huh. In fact, and I don't hear shit about that.
Okay. Oh, Jay-Z is back in play.
Well, I mean, imagine he's old, he's sick, he looks frail. I mean, what the fuck? It's such an insult. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like an old man that's gonna die. I don't know, give him a few years, like he won't be here 5 years or 10 years time. Whereas anytime our role in reality, and that I find deeply problematic. That's why I try to voice it as much as I can on this platform. And man, like I actually posted just a closing point on that. Over the Easter weekend, I actually did that form and I posted it on social media. I didn't get a single reaction, nothing. Not a like, not a comment, nothing. And I find that quite concerning, given, through the Easter weekend, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, if you can't take time, this thing is happening now and it's happening so fast, I think we should we should act.
Yeah.
We should act. And I'm also against reacting against it, like it's a devil, it's a this. Like, I couldn't give a shit who or what it represents. It's happening.
Mm.
It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to do very little for creatives. I mean, like just the entire value chain. Like look at the film industry, the entire value chain in the film industry. What it's going to do to it? I believe art is like sport. It's a celebration of how much the human being is capable of, whether physically or mentally. And once we bring in AI, we're just taking that away from us. We're taking away the essential part of the human being. Art is the greatest expression of human existence.
Yeah, I agree. So my concerns, what I've are the same, and I've been trying to, with my limited knowledge of artificial intelligence, to see how and where I can collaborate and to what degree can it help. I definitely see a good side to it as well. I don't just try to look at the taking my job. I think some jobs was going to run out, wasn't become absolute anyway. There's a lot of monotonous, repetitive work, which I find actually, is actually insulting to let people do it.
You're talking about Bumblebees.
I think the banking system is the most corrupt fucking system. I mean, South Africa's run by four banks.
Yeah.
I think that could use a bit of an overhaul. I also don't believe in like the Terminator movie, like one day we'll be here and the drone comes here and like just shoots me with some bomb because I'm not a good person. I don't think that will happen.
Yeah. But I'm the opposite. I believe that shit. I'm paranoid. I believe Skynet is gonna come and whoop our asses.
I mean if that should happen, where will the money come from? I can't. You need people. If I was coming to commit some form of genocide, I would take out the whole of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to run? there's certain things that people, unfortunately, still have to do.
Yeah.
And I also, look, man, also, on my personal space, I'm just not a very pessimistic person. I find that a bit unnecessary. Being African is
Yeah,
I don't think I still try to make my job even worse. But yeah, I mean, perspective is everything, and this thing is happening, King. So, with regards to your work, man, we need some legislation from creators in general. That strike last year in Hollywood, the writer's strike. I mean, that thing lasted for 6-7 months, and I actually still haven't read what the outcomes of that was, to be honest, but I was following. I think those type of things are very, 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 very important. We should have a similar thing here in SADC, for sure, for sure. And we should talk more about it. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I also look into it, and because I also didn't follow through to the end, but I'll definitely look into it, and because it concerns all of us. I mean, the entire value chain could be eliminated. I mean, we're talking from writers all the way to actors, to directors, marketers, editors, even cinematography. If AI can, you can feed it a prompt, and then it writes a movie, and then it renders everything. Who's working? Nobody's working.
It's also very racist. I mean, it's also also a lot of racist bias. Like there was this thing where this guy prompted it to do some, I think, doctors helping people or something like that. It was just white doctors.
So now, like, if you,
it was racist as well.
Because I think this one in was it in England, where they prompted AI to identify suspects or some shit like that. And it just picked up black people. Like, I stand on a corner like, yeah, that's the guy. He's going to rob you.
I mean, like, that is so ridiculous if you think of it. Where did these coders get time to be racist in coding? I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, because the data will feed it. The data we're feeding these algorithms is already racist. So AI is going to be a continuation of the society that we already live in, and it's probably going to be more dangerous.
Yeah,
because like if you do the matrices on when you do production, we have this table like intersections, graphs, and stuff like that, and when you do those matrices, you find that most of the stuff that we as black people create doesn't resonate with a paying audience, so it's going to continue like that. The AI is going to continue making films with white characters, telling white stories, films that appease white audiences.
We should take a stance, and I want to sort of close it with this point. That's why on this platform I try to champion that narrative of creatives should understand these platforms more.
Mm.
Personally, in my personal space, I'm not that much trying to collaborate with any artists anymore, at least not like forever, but like for now, I'm trying to collaborate more with coders, with developers, guys who understand coding, and sort of construct my processes around that. It's actually quite complicated. It's very complicated and expensive because these guys, you know, it's their time. But I think it's necessary, and it's an ongoing thing. But I'll definitely keep you up to speed with what we're doing, my brother, which is why I brought it, you know, why I brought the topic up, given that you still got a new book. But my brother, Pilani, sort of in closing, King. So we covered how the book was, to recap, how you sort of decolonizing religion, introducing a form of African spirituality narrative to the Jesus story, gender swapped. I thought that was very interesting. And moving forward, so it seems pretty promising. So let's just leave with, are there any dates in terms of like any book launches, anything marketing related around the book, which people need to know about? Is there anything like that you can share with us?
Well, as an indie creative, I set aside a budget for this project. So what I'm doing with it is I'm just developing it as it goes. So I make sales and I reprint, distribute to other networks, and I'm just trying to saturate the market with the product and just get it as far as it can. So the more people buy, the more I develop it, the more wonderful things I do with it, and we're going to put it on stage. We're really interested in doing the audio version, and just, you know, giving it a life of its own. And there's some things that I can't talk about that are in development with some of our European partners, but it's the forecast looks lovely. And
Fantastic.
I'm just excited to see what it will do and how it will play
Fantastic.
out in the open market.
I think it's a brilliant concept. I think it's very, very I love how you sort of, I love the process behind it, how you sort of took out certain things and reimagined like the old text. Looking at
Yeah.
as you know, I'm not a religious person. But
Yeah.
like you, for somebody, if I must put myself out, if I must look at myself as an outsider, it's intriguing. It's intriguing the concept, that even the title, it's intriguing, and I think you definitely right. Anybody who's anybody will pay attention just to the title. And I'm sure if you dig a bit deeper, then you know that's where the magic is. So my brother, thanks a lot, man, for coming through. Thanks for the patience with the interruption with the electrician. I wasn't expecting that. As I said, I'll put all this all these details on this episode. So for future, I mean, it will be on the channel. So if anybody's watching this, you can just check the comment channel. And to my listeners, if you gain value any of this content, you know, I appreciate like, subscribe, and comment, and all those type of things. You'll find this channel on YouTube, of course. And Pilani, my brother, once again, thanks for coming through, man.
Thank you so much for having me, Wes. I know I've been meaning to do this for a while,
Yeah.
but I think every time is the right time is always the right time.
The right time is always the right time.
Thank
And
you so
I'm
much.
always here, man. You know, we're building an ecosystem here, and yeah, permanently. So whenever king. So I will publish this episode. Today is the 16th, so I'll tell you exactly when. I'll publish it on Friday. It isn't taking too long. But I'll publish it this Friday, which will be the 19th.
Yeah,
So
awesome.
it will be the 19th.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'll definitely get you up before that, or once it's live, and you know, with the marketing and everything around the episode. So enjoy your day, my brother. Enjoy your day. Take it easy. Enjoy that great weather in Zimbabwe.
Yes, Bulawayo. The sunniest skies in the world.
Sunniest
Greatest
skies in.
city ever. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we can talk about that in another time. I would maybe argue,
Yeah.
maybe argue
I'm here for
that.
that smoke.
My king, it's always a pleasure to
You so
talk
much,
to you.
Wes.
One love.
The same here, brother. Have a good one.